Blog Talk Radio.
This next song is a favorite of mine because I stop and think of why I love Jesus. And the first thing that comes to mind is I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he looked beyond my faults and he sees all of my needs. I love him because in spite of Edward, he still loves me. I love him because he meets every need. And not only the need, but he supplies and gives me my heart's desire. Saints, you know a lot of things we don't even need. We don't even need them, but just because we want them, God gives them to us. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we come with, Lord, I love you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a song. Lord, I love you. I really
You are everything I need you to be and more. Ah, yeah. We must love him this morning because it was him that first loved us. And I tell you, I'm working on some things today because I want to make sure that I understand what God is saying and that I am applying what he said to my everyday life. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever brings a good report. Yeah. Let all this other stuff go, lying and cheating and stealing and gossiping and unforgiveness and the feelings of my own flesh. Yeah, let all that go so that he can live through me and I can be the candle that's set on a hill that can't be hid. Hallelujah, because his light through me is shining so bright. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. So listen, we're going before the throne of grace this morning and make our petition known unto him. We're going to pray the prayer of faith, and it's that prayer of faith that makes us whole. And we ask God to give us spiritual energy and physical energy today, and that he would pray through us. Hallelujah. But we don't know what to pray for. That's the word. Yeah. But we thank him that he can do this through us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, bow down in humbleness. Father, we thank you for this day, March the 12th, 2024. We thank you that you didn't forget us. You woke us up this morning, closed in our right minds. Father, we have the use and activity of limbs, life, health, and strength. And we realize this morning things could be so much worse. Oh, but your grace and your mercy, most of all, your love abounds for us this day. And Father, we ask this morning that you would remind us that you're Almighty God that have all power and there's nothing too hard for you to do. So we come, bow down, asking that you would forgive us for all our sins, for all our wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, our wrong feelings this morning. Father, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness. Father, give us a clean heart today. And renew the right spirit within us in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning for forgiving us. Thank you for putting our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. You did the same with our wrongdoings. Father, it's important that we come before you as often as we remember asking for forgiveness. But Lord, it's our thoughts. It's the way we think. It's the things we do that will quickly separate us from you. But you'll never leave us, not forsake us. But we'll leave you by doing things that's against you and against your word. Help us today, O God, to come up in you. Help us not to forget that we need you. For without you, we can do nothing. This morning, I bring every caller and every listener before you, those coming through the archives and the podcast. And Father, I ask that you would let these things resonate in their spirit, in their heart, and in their mind, that we want to get it right with you because we truly want to go back with you when you come. Father, we want to increase in our faith, strengthen us as we increase in our faith. We want to increase in our trust in you, strengthen us as we increase in trust. All that we need, God, to be yours and to walk upright before you, and to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Father, we ask you this morning to give it to us. We ask you to remind us of your word this day in the name of Jesus. For your word hold true. And Lord, we don't want to take these things lightly. We want to be sincere about our walk with you in this hour. For we know not the day nor the hour that you'll return. And Father, we want to be prepared to go back with you when you return. Help us, Lord, to get the work done that you called us to in the vineyard. For the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we are asking you this morning to send more laborers. But Father, remember the labor that you called and chose us for, or called or chose us for, Father. You know what's best for us. Every caller, every listener, make it clear unto them the calling that you have upon their life. That God, we can honor you with the work. Because again, the harvest is plenteous. Oh, but the labors are few. Help us to keep our mind on you. Help us to delight ourselves in you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, not because of materialistic blessings, but because of spiritual blessings. You strengthen us in the areas we need to have strength. Father, so many times we want stuff and things, and it's not necessary. What we need is a strength, a stronger spiritual walk with you. Help us today. Oh, you've blessed us so good, God. You've given us so much. But Lord, we need more spiritually. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to live our life before you in spirit and in truth unto you. Father, we bring those that are sick this morning before you, ask that you would touch and heal. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today. We believe you for our healing. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, Israel and Jerusalem, oh God, all our brothers and sisters overseas, America and the leadership of America. Father, we bring this segment of Jesus in the Morning before you and ask that you would have your way here, that you would lead and guide to the last second of the show. Bless your people here today. We all stand in the need of you. And Father, you know what each of us need. You supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And we need more of you. Strengthen us today as we seek more of you. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way. Anything that's not Jesus coming our way today, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke it for our sake. In the name of Jesus, we lose your blessings. We lose your miracles. Uncommon blessings and miracles we release to us today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for hearing this morning. Father, we thank you for answering us. We thank you for always being there for us. Even when we don't remember you, Father, you remember us. And we want to be a people that represent you, that glorifies you, that praise you, that give you honor, that give you glory, that worship you again in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord. Help us to be who you would have us to be in you. Whatever shouldn't be in us, Father, we ask that you would take it out. Cleanse us, save us today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The songwriter said, my Lord is getting us ready for that great day. And that's what we must focus on. We don't want to be like everybody else going through the motions, entertaining and there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We don't want any of that. We honor God with our lips, but our heart be far from it. We don't want any of that. We want our yes to be yes to him and our no to be no. But we want one big yes that lasts throughout eternity for us, and that's yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes. The answer to you today, Father, is yes. And so we thank God. We give him glory. Hallelujah. And we thank him for all he has done for us, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for his people. So we're thankful. We love him today. We're grateful to him. We appreciate him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, we're going a little bit further this morning, and I have our topic today is positive and negative. And I asked a question out on social media, which are you? Are you a positive person or are you a negative person? Because some people live in negativity. At some point, I heard the term paranoid. I think it's called schizophrenia, if I'm not mistaken. And it's where the devil is showing people, these demons showing people what they think is real is not real. And then you have people with anxiety. They're always thinking everything they do, they have to be, I don't know what I would call it, but I'm going to use the term careful. Because if not, something bad is going to happen. They need to cross every T and dot every I. And my question often when I see that is, well, what is left for God to do in your life? Because you're doing everything. So what's left for him to do? All of this is because you're not really trusting God. These people don't really trust him. Now, when they get in dire straits, they will, because they don't have a choice. And they believe they know God. But God don't need you when you're in dire straits to trust him only. He needs you to trust him through the good times. And we don't have to do all of this stuff. And I tell you, I need prayer because it weighs you down. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm weighed down because of the paranoid or schizo or this. Now, the counseling of this, the people that are counseled that have this, yeah. I need strength. I'm telling you. I was telling the Lord last night, Lord, I'm tired. Yeah. And then I saw myself praying for a move of God, you know. But he's able to see us through. And he will strengthen us today. All we got to do is call on his name. But his scripture says we're two or three. So the more who's praying for me, the better I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to talk about positive and negative. And then I have a testimony I want you to hear. And I bring a lot of these testimonies because I truly want people to wake up and stop thinking it's what the preacher told you. Stop thinking it's what you think it is. It's best we go to the scripture and know. It's best we pray and ask God and get the answer directly from heaven, hot off the press. Have patience and wait for God to bring the answer because we need it. And we need to know. I listened to the message again from the young man who got shot twice. Anybody remember that testimony? I got to play it again. He got shot twice. Ended up in hell. I thought he was there for 45 minutes, but I think he was there for 3 minutes and 47 seconds. But he said while he was in hell in that darkness and seeing all this stuff, it felt like months he was down there. And I remember him saying gossip and unforgiveness were the two top sins that caused people to go to hell. Even church folks, he talks about they had preachers and they throw preachers in boxes, old dirty boxes, and torture them. He said you can hear them screaming in there. He says the most horrific smell you ever want to smell. But see, we forget. This is why it's important for us to think on these things, because it's our thoughts that get us there. A thought truly is a thing. And these ugly thoughts we have will cause us to go to hell. I'm telling you the truth. I believe that. So these are the things we're to think on. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever yields a good report, or good reports. These are the things we should be thinking on today. When you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells you each one of these I just mentioned, from true to good report. And I want to read that this morning, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1 and go on down so we can get a great understanding. And I found out that Apostle Paul was the author of Philippians. It says that it was one of his four prison letters. And they say they believe it was written around after the death of Christ, 62, while Paul was in prison in Rome. He wrote to the believers at Philippi, with whom he shared a close partnership and special affections. He loved these people. He loved the Philippians. Yeah, he loved being in Philippi to talk with them and to share with them. And it was a wonderful thing, because look what we get out of it. We get the book of Philippians. So we're going to be talking about this morning. And in his writing to the Philippians, with the way he started off the writings, it tells us that he loved them. And it tells us that he wants to encourage them and to tell them the great things that will keep them in touch with the true and living God, Jehovah, who have all power. So we want to prepare, and this is a part of our preparation to be ready when God returns. We don't want to have our hair done and we haven't picked out the wedding gown. We don't have a headpiece. We don't have the proper shoes that's going to match everything, because we want to look good. It's a special day. It's a very special occasion. And it's not just any old wedding. It's not. I'm just not any old bride. So he's coming back, and he's coming back for me. And I need to prep all along. He gave me 6 to 7 years. I'm headed into 6 to 8 next February, if he spare my life. So from now until I leave here, I need to daily prep, prepare for his return. I need to build a strong relationship with him through his word and through prayer. I need to turn off the world. I need to turn my flesh off, let the flesh die so he can live. I pray and ask God to help me to bury this flesh, to kill this flesh, to let it die so the Spirit of God can live through me. And whatever is going on won't penetrate me. It won't cause me to fall. Because sometimes things said, sometimes the slightest thing done will cause us to have a bad thought, because we're not in the mood, as we say. But if we'll keep our mind on him, it's him that will keep us in perfect peace. Are you positive this morning? Are you negative? Because we need both. If anybody ever saw somebody whose car or truck battery died, they get a positive and a negative cable, and when you connect it to the right one, it causes the truck or the car to start. In the South, we call it crank. It'll crank up. That's what we say in the South. Up North, they say start the car or start the truck. Yeah. And then there are times like when we start that car, that power from positive and negative started the car. We got to have that too, a negative side. And where that come in is when you're going through a trial. You feel like it's negative. But because we got Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit, we connect them together, positive on positive this time, and it comes back the negative. what we're feeling negative about. Because most people in a trial, they rush to come out of it because it don't feel good. We try everything we can. I'm raising my right hand because I'm guilty. Everything that I could try to get out of that trial because it's not feeling good to me. It makes me feel like I'm down in the valley. And then the enemy will come and say, you're being punished. I'm not being punished. I'm going through a trial because the trial comes to make me strong. See, had I not gone through some things, I wouldn't know some things. I wouldn't know how to trust God. I wouldn't know how to keep the faith and increase my faith in him. I would know that Hebrews 11, I would know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those that were before me, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I would know. But I learned from scripture and experience, scripture and trials. Again this morning, the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. But we have to remember this. I learned this. Those of us that come to him, the first key is faith. We must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We feel negative when we're not seeking God. We feel bad. We can get depressed. We can start stressing because we're not keeping our mind on him. We're not seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're not delighting ourselves in him. Never mind what the blessings of it is, because if you obey the instructions, the blessings going to automatically come. But I want to do these things. I want to obey him. I want to delight myself in him. I want to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I don't want to seek my thoughts. Something happening immediately, I go to think of what to do. Oh, no, no, no. If I can't say nothing but, Lord, have mercy, I want to say that. And many times I say, Lord, fix my heart and regulate my mind. And do you know, in a little while, I start feeling that. I get strength. My mind is no longer on the negative things or whatever happened that I felt was bad, because I immediately gave it to him. When he fixed my heart and regulated my mind, all I got to say then is, Lord, it's yours. I don't know what to do with it. Father, I can't even think on it. But you said I could come boldly before the throne of grace and make my petition known unto you. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm praying. And I'm seeking you. I'm in your word, prayer and supplication. I made my request known unto you. Now the enemy gonna come and tell you some stuff, but we gotta resist him. Every time he comes, you resist him, he got to flee. Now if you play into what he's saying, and you start repeating what he told you, oh, I'm feeling so bad. Oh, this, that, and the other. Oh, that devil came today. Now, we resist him and begin to lift up the name of Jesus. We resist him and begin to look for work that we can do unto the Lord. Because what we're doing now, we're occupying until he comes. We're doing the things that pleases him, the things that keep us strongly connected to him, until he fix our situation. I don't want to keep thinking on my bad situation, negative situation, over and over and over. Now, I can't do anything about it. I prayed and I put it on at the throne. I brought it boldly before the throne of God. I believed him and I left it at his feet. We have to learn quickly to let go, so that God can have his way in our lives. We can't just stay there with it. You can pray many times about the same thing. Nothing is wrong with that. But when we put it on that altar and we truly let go, we're not going to keep going back. But what we will do is look for work. Lord, where can you use me this morning? What would you have me to do today? Use me in your service, God, today. Your people stand in need. Help me today be that vessel that you can use. We can remind him of his word, Father. Again, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Send more labors into the vineyard. But Father, what about the labor you call me to? Where can you use me today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've known him to use me in the chaplain at the hospital, over at the homeless shelter serving food. I've known him to use me in plenty of places on the street, in the dollar store, in the grocery store, in the Walmart. I know him to use me anywhere that there are people. I can be used. And we need to keep our mind on these things. That I'm an ambassador for Almighty God. I'm a worker unto him. I know people get the titles and it appears they lose their mind because they have a title. I knew a woman, she wanted to be ordained, and so she thought I would ordain. No, I don't do that. God have to speak to me real strong on that matter. I'm not creating no devils and got God's name attached to it. So she went somewhere else and got ordained. But look, mean as a junkyard dog. But you want to be ordained. And then when she would come, oh, she would use that title. I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. Listen, all a title means, and I have been teaching this, but people don't, they come for their own purpose. They don't come to hear from God. Listen, I have shared this many times. A title means work. It don't mean for people to bow down to you. It don't mean for people to put you up on a pedestal and worship you. It don't mean for you to just give out orders because you want to give out orders. It means work. I'm an evangelist, but you see, I went to the hospital not only to pray but to visit the sick and to call the illness out. I'm an evangelist. Anywhere that I go, opportunity is presented to spread the good news of Jesus. That's what I do. He gave me gifts now because in certain situations, I'm going to operate in a different capacity. That faithful few that's been coming for years, you've heard people come and say, Dr. Pittman or Dr. Mack or Pastor Mack or Pastor Pittman. You done heard all kind of titles. I only know one title that God gave me, and that was evangelist. But because of the work that they saw me do is the reason they thought these titles I had. But I didn't have those titles. I had the work of an evangelist, the work of a pastor, the work of this, the work of that, because the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. And God will use whoever is willing. And we must learn this. Simply because God used me, it don't always mean that the person belonged to God. He used a chicken. He used a whale. He used a donkey. Certainly, he can use man. But I don't want to just be used by God as an evangelist and in these other areas, offices of work. But I want to belong to him. I want to be his daughter. And being his daughters, I want to demonstrate the traits of him that he is my father. When you look at me, you can tell I'm his daughter. When you hear me speak, you can hear, oh, she sounds like her father. Huh? She's joined heirs with Jesus Christ, so she sounds like her brother. because he's the son of God, and if I'm the daughter of God, he's my brother. So there are a lot of things that we want to work on, and we want to get it right with God. He allowed man to write the Old Testament for our learning, so that we could learn. When I look at Sarah, when I look at Deborah, it teaches me. When I look at Miriam, it teaches me some things. Rebecca, it teaches me some things. Not how to be a scammer. Not how to be a liar and a thief. Not how to gossip, but how to work on walking upright before God, even in these areas, because these areas are very easy to do. Unforgiveness and gossip is very easy. Even lying is easy to slip into that. Lord, have mercy. But God has meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Oh, yeah. He said, if we don't forgive, he can't forgive us. Now, that's not just a cliche. That's just not something that to be said. God meant what he said. If I don't forgive those who has trespassed against me, he can't forgive me. And I have many trespasses, had many trespasses when I came to him. I had gossip. Talked about other people. And it wasn't that I was just sharing the truth. It was straight up gossip. I've judged others. He said the same way we judge others, he's going to judge us. That's not a cliche. That's just not something that's just thrown out there. But it's what God said. He inspired man to write, and it is the truth. And he's going to stand on the truth. He loved me this morning. He don't want me to perish, but he will not lie for me. He will not go against his word for me. I have to get it right. I got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I got to delight myself in him. I got to keep my mind on him. I have to repent. I got to pray. I got to study the word and remember what it says and apply it to my everyday life. It's growing time. If we haven't grown in him, it's time to grow. Are you positive or are you negative? What do your members yield the most? Do you yield more positive than negative? Are you quick to get upset? And when you get upset, you don't guide to straighten people out, but you go over there and do it in your flesh? Positive or negative? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He even said this, let the wheat and the tare grow together in the day of harvest. I'll do the separating. You don't have to worry about it. And many times we want to take God's job. You can't do it. You're not doing your own job. Uh-huh. We need to get our job done and let God do his job. Remember what he said about everything. Obey the laws of the land. I try not to speed. Because before I came to him, it was in my foot. It was in my foot to just keep pressing on that gas. Passing everything on the road that I could pass. But today I got to obey the laws of the land. I was throwing gum out the car window, throwing a piece of paper out the car window. Come to me now, look here. That's littering, and it's against the law. Stop it. Now, you know what your flesh is taking. Oh, it wasn't nothing but some gum. Oh, it wasn't nothing but a little piece of paper. Stop it. Now, that's what I need to, not that it was a little piece of paper, a little gum. Stop it is what I need to pay close attention to and just do just that. Stop doing it. Anybody ever heard warning comes before destruction? See, he was warning me. And one of them times I throw paper, gum, or whatever out the one that go the boys from 911. Yeah, them three familiars. And write me a big fat ticket. Because you're disobeying the laws of the land, and I said to obey him. We got to stop taking God's word, and because he don't destroy us when we don't do it, it's a game. We got to start paying attention and obey it. The man that gave his testimony about going to hell, he said this, them thoughts we have is what caused us to go to hell, the way we think. Because the thoughts is what calls us to do the action behind the thought. When she look over there and see somebody else's husband, she start thinking. Then the next thing, she done moved over there and said something to see if he gullible and if he going to go for the craziness. Now, once she see he'll go for it, it go on from there. Next thing you know, they're at the motel or wherever, her house or will, his house or somebody's house. Yeah. Fornication. I'm to my folks in the church now. I'm not talking to the world because we know they already got their agenda and they're going to stick to it and they do what they do. They're not professing or possessing and they don't act like they are. But church folks, he see her in church and he liked the way she looked, the way she shaped or whatever, the way she wear hair, whatever. He done slid to her. Next thing you know, they out eating or whatever. They talking on the phone. Next thing you know, they in the bed fornicating. It's the thoughts. We got to protect our thoughts. Guard them thoughts. Just like you guard your heart, guard your thoughts. Don't let anything just slide through. Stop it. Bind it up and loose what's good, loose what's pure, loose what's honest, loose what's clean, loose what's just, loose what's right before God. Yeah. I want to read this right here, Philippians chapter 4. Well, I tell you what, let's go to one more request of the morning and song request, and we won't play it all the way through. I want to get back and read Philippians chapter 4, and we'll go from there. Let's go to this one.
I like that, y'all.
I've had my share of heartache, but I'm still here. Trouble, I've seen my share of trouble, but I'm still here. Bruises, I've taken my lumps and but I'm still here. Yes, I am. Loneliness, I've had my share of loneliness, but I'm still here. Listen to that. Can anybody relate to that tonight? I made it, yeah.
I made it through another day's journey. God kept me here.
Now I know somebody can relate to what I'm about to say now. Lied on, many times I've been lied on.
Yeah.
But I'm still here. to bear so many burdens, but I'm still here. But I'm still here. Yes, I am. Disappointments, I've had so many disappointments, but I'm still here.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, the William brothers, and I'm still here. Yeah, I've been through many things, but because I went to God with it, I got in the word about it, I'm still here. Hallelujah. It don't make me perfect. It don't make me better than nobody, but I know the true and living God that have all power. Hallelujah. And I want to seek his face, turn from a wicked way. Yeah, let him hear from heaven. He going to forgive the sins and heal the land. Hallelujah. America need a healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I wanted to read this, and this is Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to pay close attention to verse 8. But we're going to start at verse 1. And this shows you how much Paul loved those Philippians. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now these two names, the way that it's written, is the way I'm pronouncing them in English. Verse 3 said this, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. We talked about that yesterday, the Lamb book of life. He said, yoke fellow. Yeah, because sometimes you feel like you got a yoke around your neck. Because you live in the word of God. He called them fellow laborers. He said, help those women which labor with me. Somebody said the women were supposed to be quiet. Which labor with me in the gospel. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, because these trials come, and they come to make us strong, but many times we see them as negative. They hated him, so they're going to hate us. Negative going to come. They lied on him, they'll lie on you. Negative going to come. Sometimes it's in your own house. Sometimes it's your family members, your close family members, brothers, sisters, mama, daddy, grandmama. Uncles, aunts, cousins, yeah. Sometimes it's your in-laws. But we got to stay looking to the hills from which cometh our help. We got to stay keeping our mind on him so he can keep us in perfect peace. We got to stay delighting ourselves in him so he can give us the desires of our heart. Sometimes your desire may be peace. It may be joy. It may be a getaway. But if we'll keep our mind on him, if we'll delight ourselves in him, if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he's taking care of us. Everything we need, he is going to supply it and more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 5 says, and see, we can rejoice when we get here. When we know to delight ourselves, when we know to seek him. Well, we know to keep our mind on him. We can rejoice. We can have joy in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm. Because even when the enemy come in like a flood, it's God that will raise the standard. I'm not telling you what Barbara said. I'm telling you what he inspired man to write for Barbara. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Yeah, I got to let people know just how far I'm going to go with that. I got to pray about some personal things, even with friends. Yeah. Because certain things make me not want to be around. And if you don't care, then that's fine. You know, you go your way, I go my way. But I've been trying. Yeah. But anyway, verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. And you don't even need a reason to be careful. He said, watch as well as pray. You don't have to have a reason, but he said, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. That reminds me of this. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He's going to direct your path. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, no matter what we're going through, we need to lift him up. Tell him thank you. Let your request be made known unto God. There's no need of me calling over there, telling them people over there who can't do nothing about my situation. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Yeah, I got to tell him. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding should keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. But you got to be willing to rejoice always. You got to be willing to help somebody along the way. When we look at verse 3, we got to be willing to help somebody. Another brother, another sister. He told us to love one another, not as the world, but love like he did. I hear your situation, I come running. If I can't get there, then if it's a financial thing, and let's say I don't have but $10 in it, and if all of us send $10, every believer that's walking in the word send it, then you're going to have more than you need. But we first got to get that first part down. They over there in dire straits. I got to tell somebody and see who's going to help me to help them. Yeah. And let your moderation, well, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Almighty God. And then this is what he said, the reward for all of that. See, those were instructions. Here come the blessing in verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When you do these things up here he talked about, when you follow his instructions. Verse 8 says this, finally, brethren, it's like he's cutting it off now. He done end the instructions, but I need to give this to you. These are last instructions, but these things are going to move you. They're going to shake you. They're going to bless you real good. You're going to be that candle that sit on the hill that can't be hid. You're going to be the salt of the earth that give the earth its savor, its flavor. You're going to be the one that when you speak, hell stops because the anointing is in you and you're obeying the word of God. Y'all excuse me. It's a little warm in here. And I got to turn the heat off. But 8 says, finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is how we can keep our minds on him. Those things, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. This is Apostle Paul talking. And the God of peace shall be with you. It just boiled down to we got to obey the word. Sometimes we need to go back to the New Testament and stay there a while. Sometimes we need to come on up from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and get on about it. And what it says, apply it to our everyday life. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Sometimes you have to just go on out there. I was riding the other day and a thought come to me and I'm praying about it. Because when the opportunity presents itself, I want to work. I want to go on and get it done. And many times I do things that no one else is doing. There's no money in it. There's no prestige in it. Only you and God and the person he used you to bless gonna know about it. And when it's like that, many times people don't want to be bothered, especially no money is in it. But I've been trusting God ever since 1993. Oh, I had to go through the storm and lots of rain. But today I can say I made it. All my work paid off. All my steadfastness. Stand always abound in the work of the Lord. Going back to asking, you know, and make sure my labor's not in vain when I look out there. Some things I don't know if it was in vain or not, but I trust it. And I keep it moving. Yeah, what other people won't do, I do. And I thank God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he said they lacked opportunity. 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned, and whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. Did you hear that? Whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. Why? I have the God that have all power. I have the God that made the heavens and the earth. I have the same God that said, let there be light, and light appeared. I have the same God that told Abraham to leave from over there in that country where he come from around them kindred, them kin folks, and gone on over here to a strange land. You don't know nobody over there, but gone on over there. And not only that, but I'm going to make your relatives like the sand of the sea. If you can count all the sand on the beach, then that's how many relatives I'm going to give you, but you can't count it. He sent John the Baptist to do some baptizing. Knocked Paul off the horse on his way to Damascus to imprison and kill Christians and torture him, and made a head apostle out of him, the same God I'm talking about. So whatever state I'm in, I can be content. Because I'm just simply waiting on him. This too shall pass. Verse 12 says, I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Oh, but look what he said right here. 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. If I need to be hungry for some days, I can. If I need to be full, I can be full. If I need to suffer, I can suffer. Because I've learned. Again, 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. 14 says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, yet sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Oh, he loved the Philippians. I didn't forget him when he was in prison. And they obeyed what he taught. It makes all the difference in the world when you suffer to make sure the truth get out. And then you see people obeying it. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. I talked to Minister Spinner yesterday evening. Yeah. And I thank God for that. I just wanted to share that with y'all so we don't forget her and keep her in prayer. Yeah. So we're moving right along this morning, and I have a testimony I would like to share. And I want to read that Philippians, positive or negative. And then I wanted to share this testimony this morning and show you how things go and how the devil come after children. See, in our childhood, he starts. And it's our parents' job to cover us in the blood of Jesus. And sometimes they do all of that, but when we turn a certain age, they covering and we coming against it. But I want to share this with you this morning, and we're going to take a listen. And when we come back, we hope to come back early enough that the studio is open.
Randy K. here. We all go through struggles at times, and I want to share with you through stories and insights and interviews with others how much God loves you. He loves you immensely, and that's what I hope you will hear through our interviews and what we have to share with you. Thanks for staying tuned. Here we go. Welcome to this episode of Revelations from Heaven. My guest today, Pastor LaRon Bledsoe. He was a convicted felon at the age of 13. He was a gangster rap artist, and that opened the doors to the demonic realm, and then he made a deal with the devil. We'll find out what that deal is that he made and how he broke that deal, which released the terror of the demons upon him. Today, he has a deliverance ministry. He is the pastor of a church called the Church of Ecclesia. He has authored books, and we'll mention those as well. Those will be in the text of this interview. And Pastor LaRon, it is great to have you with us today.
Great to be here, Randy. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today.
Well, it's great to have you because there aren't too many that we speak with that at an early age are convicted felons. So
yes,
what led up to that? I know there was a troubled household, your father involved in drugs and the like. So why don't we start there, what led into this, and then we'll finish up with your dynamic ministry today.
Yes, sir, for sure. So early on as a young child, I was very smart in school, actually, Randy. I was engrafted into a gifted program. I was a straight A student. And, at that particular time in my family, it was just me, my mom and my dad and my older brother. We didn't want for anything. He had a decent job and he was also a drug dealer. And, so oftentimes we had everything that we needed. Well, make a long story short, what happened, he began to get addicted to the drugs that he was selling. And we went from having it all to living in the house with no gas, no water, no electric. And it began to play out in my behavior. And that was around the age of 11 going up into 13. So at the age of 13, I was still in the gifted program making straight A's, but my grades began to plummet. And I got involved with gangs. I got involved with drugs at school. I got involved with alcohol. Even at 13, I would be drunk before school. I would get drunk before school. And by the time I got to school, I wouldn't be able to even walk the halls. And so I began to get involved with gangs. And one particular day, we were living with our grandparents because obviously the house ended up getting foreclosed on. And I took a gun that I knew was there and took it to school and was playing with it in the restroom, which is very dangerous. But, you know, when you're a young kid, you don't understand. I'm pointing it at some of my friends and laughing and joking. And one particular day I headed at school and there was a group of guys that came from another rival gang. And we got into a verbal altercation. And they began to get out of their car because they were actually a little older than I was. And we were still on the school grounds. And ironically, the police station was directly across the street from the school. And when they got out of the car, I began to open fire. Thankfully, no one got hit and the police came. And so that was on a Friday. That Monday, detectives were waiting at the school and arrested me. Because it was a bunch of witnesses, kids were around, so everyone told who it was. And for those 2 years, from 13 to 15, I was placed in a juvenile delinquency facility. That was a Class B felony, Class A felony, armed criminal action, first-degree assault. So they were like some really heavy charges. As a matter of fact, I ended up going on a scared straight to a real prison during that time, and there were some people doing life in prison for those exact same felonies. So I was really real fortunate and fortunate that no one actually got shot either. But just to backtrack a little bit, even before then, I always had a closeness with the spirit world from age, I would say 5, all the way up until now. I experienced a lot of these attacks in my sleep called sleep paralysis. And I talk about it on some of my YouTube videos, but it was basically where I would lay down and demons would torment me in my sleep. Sometimes they would suffocate me. Sometimes they would claw me. Sometimes they would taunt me verbally. And it got so bad, Randy, where I would literally stay up all night as a kid in my room. Even though my brother was in there, we had a bunk bed. Sometimes I would try to crawl in bed with him. He would get upset, call my mom. She would come in there and force me to get back under because nobody really understood what I was dealing with and what I was going through.
This is a phenomenon, the sleep paralysis. We've talked about this before. Yeah. That maybe is an unfamiliar team. That maybe you could explain that a little bit further for our audience who may be experiencing this at times. What happens during that and what causes it?
Very good question. So sleep paralysis is a phenomenon that people all over the world actually are experiencing or have experienced at some point in their life. And what it is, you are disturbed in your sleep. Something wakes you up. However, you cannot move. You cannot move your body. Now, there are different things and different experiences that people have during sleep paralysis. I've heard stories. Well, let me just start my own stories. I've seen demonic spirits. During these paralysis attacks, I've been choked, I've been suffocated, I've been, like I said, clawed in my stomach, pain inflicted upon me during these times, and I can't do anything, I can't move, I can't defend myself. So the only thing you can really do is lay there and just pray and beg that this, whatever it is, happens. I mean, that it stops. And you understand that this is something that is not of this world. This is something that is not normal that you're experiencing. And the only thing you know to do, which is innate, is to call on the name of God, call on the name of Jesus. Because you understand that whatever is attacking you and putting its hands on you is something greater than you. And you're powerless to these beings. These are actually beings. And I have so many stories of these kind of things happening to a lot of people, even in my family.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're at the point where it's almost like there's a physical accosting of you at this point, but it's spiritual. But it has that physical effect where you can't move. I mean,
exactly.
You're bound by these powers, principalities, and spirits of darkness. And
yeah.
This is as a teenager. So what happened then?
So you can tell that this pain is not necessarily physical. However, it's hard to explain. You still can feel it, but you know it's not happening to your physical body. It affirms that we do have a soul and that we do have a spirit, that these demonic spirits are able to, you're vulnerable when you're sleeping. They're able to some kind of way attack you when you're laying down. But going back to my childhood, got locked up at 13 as a felon, 2 years in a boys' home. And during that time in that boys' home, I was exposed to rap music. I mean, I've always listened to rap music, but I was locked up with a few guys who were rap artists. And I began to develop an interest. I had always liked writing and writing poetry, so that was kind of right up my alley. So I developed an interest, and I began to write lyrics. When I was in the juvenile facility, I had a lot of time on my hands, obviously. And when I got out of that place, at the age of 15, I continued to pursue that as a career. And there was a particular group that I was really fond of that came out around the time I was 15, 16. And they were very well known. They were platinum selling artists. And I did a study up on them and found that they made a deal with the devil through a Ouija board. As a matter of fact, they had a song called Mr. Ouija, where they would promote, promote the young people to play around with these Ouija boards. So I decided that, hey, if this is a way out, you know, I'm at that time in extreme poverty, then I want to do the same thing. So got myself a Ouija board from a friend who had one, because back then, Randy, there were actually commercials on television advertising Ouija boards like they were toys. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine's had one, and I began to play with that thing, and I would go into darkness, and I would just speak into the atmosphere, and I would tell the devil, hey, what you did for them, I want you to do the same thing for me. I give you my soul. You can have it in exchange to give me the fame and give me the fortune and all that comes along with it. So that Ouija board never moved on its own until one particular day, Randy, and I'll talk about that a little later. So I continued to do that. By this time, I'm on drugs and alcohol. I'm 15, and I'm addicted to nicotine. I'm addicted to marijuana. I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm staying out all night. 15 years old, you should be at home doing homework, getting ready for the bed. I'm staying out all night. I'm getting a little bit into selling drugs. And by the time 16 came, I had my first child, obviously. So one particular day, I continued to go into darkness and make these declarations to the devil. And I can remember it just like it was yesterday. And I'm writing lyrics. You know, I'm writing lyrics. I'm trying to get into the studio and do these various things. And one particular Thanksgiving Eve, I left work, and a young lady wanted to get some marijuana. So I decided I would take her to get some marijuana. I had groceries in her car that I was supposed to bring home for my mom to finish Thanksgiving dinner. Well, what happened, we were riding in the car and we were smoking marijuana, and the police pulled us over because they saw us through the window and took me out the car and had me in the back of the car. And I was just standing there just like, when is this going to be over? I got to get home. Well, while I was standing there, Satan, of this spirit, came into my conscience, identified itself as Satan. And it began to advertise, I'll try to explain it the best way I can, but it's very difficult. It began to advertise to me a particular rap style. And it was really catchy. It was really good. And he told me who he was. He told me that he heard my prayers. Ironically, you know, he always tries to do what God does, because what God does works. But anyway, and he said, this I'm going to give you. This is, you're going to be everything you want to be. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you famous. However, the one thing that he made sure, made clear, that you cannot back out of this. You cannot run to God. You know, he was very adamant, this spirit. I mean, it was literally talking to me in my conscience. It wasn't me thinking these thoughts. It was supernatural. It was totally supernatural. And I was standing there and I was mesmerized by what was happening. And so police ended up just kicking me out and basically forcing me to walk home and took the other young lady. It was a Caucasian young lady. And so they later on found out that they told her they wanted to get her to safety. And they just kicked me out on the streets with my bags, and I'm a long way from home. So anyway, to God be the glory, there was a cab that was just sitting right there on the corner of the where there was a gas station. And at that time, I was still in the gang. I had on a bunch of gang, you know, the gang that I was in wore a lot of red. I had a lot of red clothes on. And I was in an area that was of a opposing gang. And I was getting really scared because there were a group of guys who were circling, who were watching me, and I knew that they were probably going to do something to me. And I just so happened to see there was a cab sitting there, and I know it was nothing but God as I look back now. And he said, well, you got to pay me up front. But anyway, so I paid him up front. He took me home, and that next day I woke up trying to sing or to rap those lyrics that Satan had advertised to me, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so I went and got some marijuana, tried to get high, thinking that would do it, and it didn't happen. I could not say those lyrics. They were so mesmerizing and so, I don't even know the right words to say it, but you could tell this was not of this world.
Mm.
And so about a month later, when I wasn't even thinking about it, and I was smoking marijuana with some friends of mine, Satan came back into my conscience. He advertised those lyrics to me again. He reaffirmed our deal and made it clear again that you are not to back out of this. So this is what I began to deal with, and he began to enhance my lyrical ability. I would be able to rap songs without writing. You know, this is really, really supernatural stuff. There's an artist right now that says he doesn't rap. He doesn't write his lyrics, and he's a platinum-selling artist, and I believe him, because he's used as a medium for these demonic powers and these demonic spirits to speak through, to speak to this young generation and to keep them in a state of sin, to keep them in a state of darkness. But anyway, so
well, that's, if I can ask you the question, because this is something that is endemic within especially the youth community or young people in rap music. Talks about attacking women.
Yeah.
It talks about, you know, killing people, all kinds
correct.
Of things. So
yeah.
You're talking about an inspiration that was from the devil or demons themselves. But in your particular case, you made a contract with the devil, but this is like a gangster contract that
yeah.
you were entering into. It's like you can't leave or else, you know, this happens or whatever. And
yeah.
That's a contract that you have, and you knew at that time that this was when you were making this contract that this was Satan himself, because he's not omnipresent.
Yeah.
But this was the leader of the demonic.
Yeah, at least that's the spirit when it introduced itself and introduced itself as Satan. I'm Satan. And I knew that this was not natural. I had background in church. I had family in church. I knew who God was. But I was so desperate to escape poverty. And I was willing to turn a blind eye to the truth that I knew about God. And the family that I had that were in church, I had various family members that had gotten saved and were in church. But I was desperate. So I decided to ignore all of that. In pursuit of this deal. And when I realized that I actually did conjure up something out of this world, that's when it began to get real for me. You know, that after that Thanksgiving Eve night, when that demonic spirit manifested itself in my conscience, in the physical, because I've been used to dealing with these demonic presence in my sleep, kind of in the metaphysical world, the spirit world, but I've never had a dealing with them in a physical manifestation in the physical world. And this is exactly what this was. So I was kind of excited, you know, because what I did worked in a sense. So so he would tell me the lyrics to write, and I next thing you know, I'm going to studios, I'm making CDs, I'm my lyrics are enhancing. They're getting better. I'm able to, you know, rap without writing anything down and without missing a beat. I mean, just letting it pour through his demonic power. You know, he had gave me the power to be able to spew these lyrics without missing a beat. So just to tell you how amazing God is, one particular night I get home and I couldn't sleep, Randy. I was living with my mom at that time. My mom and my dad, he was still on drugs, but my mom was the strength of the house. She had actually got saved. And so she was the strength of the house then. But anyway, I woke up 5 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. So, you know, when you wake up at 5 a.m, you just turn on the TV. You know, I couldn't rest. I turned on the television. There was a cartoon. And in this cartoon, there was a young boy who was not popular at school. He was walking home and he meets this jack-o'-lantern head guy, which was the devil, on his walk home. And the jack-o'-lantern head guy, which was Mr. Pumpkin, that's what his name was. He had an evil face like a jack-o'-lantern. And he told the boy, "You're not popular, but all you got to do is take this electric guitar and go to school and play it, and I'll make you as popular as you want to be." And, of course, the young boy was desperate, so he jumped right on it. He took the electric guitar to school. He played it. He became popular overnight. So what the devil would do was every time he did Satan's bidding, he would get a better guitar than what he had before. The end result, he was a rock and roll star. He was rich. He was famous. And he never said anything. He just played this electric guitar. He was on stage, and he was playing this electric guitar. And all of a sudden, that demon, Mr. Pumpkin, appeared, and all the people in the audience began to turn into these jack-o'-lantern head-looking things. And the boy felt sorrowful because he realized at that moment he was merely used by this demonic spirit to deceive all of these people. However, it was too late. And I actually found that cartoon years later. I was so relentless in trying to find, because it's obviously no longer on the air. And I found it. It was called Ultra Force. And I even showed it to my kids to show them how God broke the contract over my life using a cartoon. He is so amazing. But I knew that God was ministering to me because I was going through that at this very moment. And I knew that this was God. I can feel God's presence even now. It almost brings tears to my eyes, his love, man. And so I was like, oh, man, I know this is God ministering to me through a cartoon. So I continued to still pursue what I was pursuing, but now I'm a little apprehensive, you know, about what's going on. And like going back to what I said about the Ouija board, all the times I messed with it, nothing happened. One particular day I came home and asked it, how long would it take before I become, you know, rich and famous? And Randy, I'm here to tell you, man, I have no reason to lie. Everything I'm saying is nothing but truth. As I was sitting there and I had my hands on that thing, I felt a turning in my stomach. And when I felt that turning in my stomach, that little piece on that board that I had my hands on began to move on its own. I was shocked. I didn't really expect that to happen, so much so that I knocked it off my lap. I ran outside. I destroyed it because I said, okay, I've opened up to some real stuff here, and I began to get scared. Because I knew about hell, you know about God, and I knew about hell in the back of my conscience too. I had this encounter with this cartoon, so now I'm starting to feel a little convicted, right? We always had Bibles at home. I picked up the Bible one night, and everyone always told me, when you read the Bible, never start with the book of Revelations. Well, that's exactly what made me start with the book of Revelation. Started with the book of Revelation, and that night I read the entire book of Revelations, and one thing that stood out to me was the verse of scripture that said, and those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast in the lake of fire where Satan and the false prophet shall be. And immediately I got convicted. And I put the Bible down and I cried out to hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I cried out to God in that room. And the fact that he heard me, I'm just a little guy in this little poverty-stricken town, but he heard me. And so he heard me, and I literally heard the voice of God saying, take those lyrics, because I had a folder of all my lyrics. He said, burn them. He said, take them and burn them. So it's late at night. It's like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. I took them outside right in the front yard and lit them on fire.
Wow.
And as the fire is burning, tears are streaming down my face because this was my life. This was my meal ticket. This was my way out.
This could have made you rich.
This could have made me
rich. These songs.
Rich.
Wow.
Exactly. And I burned them. And two things I felt that night. I felt the presence of love, like an angel that was protecting me, but I also felt a steaming hate from the demonic presence because I remember the spirit told me there's no backing out. And here I am backing out. So Randy, the repercussions were not long after. I mean, immediately Satan came after me. The very next day I woke up to a friend of mine knocking at my front door saying, hey man, I've got drugs. I've got this. And he never had drugs as, you know, never really had a lot of drugs. But this particular day, for whatever reason, he has drugs and he wants to share them with me. So I'm still not saved. I just cried out to God for what I had did. And I burnt those lyrics, but I hadn't really gave my life to Christ yet. So I rode in the car with him. And we're smoking weed, me, him, and another guy, and I'm in the back seat. And all of a sudden, these demon spirits began to enter my body. I could feel them. And when they entered my body, there was rap music playing on the radio. I was able to hear in the spirit. I could literally see the demons who were in this particular rap artist. This is when I realized what rap music really was about. And this demon was using this man as a medium to convey this dark message. And one thing about rap music, there's a part of the song called the hook, Randy. The hook is the part of the song that is repetitious, and it hooks into your conscious. And I had struggled when I did get saved. When I would be at church, sometimes those hooks would just – I used to have to call on the name of Jesus just to get those hooks out of my head. I couldn't even, you know, I've heard stories of the other young men coming from my background who were on the altar trying to pray, and all they could hear was this rap music. So I'm freaking out, and I tell them, I say, hey, I need to go home. And they're kind of upset with me, like, we've got plenty more drugs. What do you mean you need to go home? I'm freaking out back here because I don't know what the heck I'm experiencing. I can't really say what I'm experiencing. They say, okay, we'll take you home. As soon as I got out of the car, this evil presence was on me, and it was breathing in my conscience. It was angry with me. So there's nowhere to hide. I mean, this is happening, and it's manifesting in the physical. So I went in the house, and I sat down on the couch, and as it's breathing in my head, angrily, it has his hand on my heart. And I pause here to say, I know that, you know, people who've never experienced stuff like this sometimes have a hard time, you know, but I'll just try to explain it the best way I know how.
Well, that's true, Pastor Laurent.
Yeah.
That people have a hard time comprehending that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you a question now in terms of how you identified or how it felt. Just
yeah.
If you could kind of give us, was it a physical feeling? Was it just a, I know that I know type of feeling? How did you know when this was going on? And the impression we know kind of like, I have a sense of things, but was there something physical correlating with head knowledge and spiritual knowledge? How was that?
So I could hear, number one, I was conscious, and I could hear the breathing of this demonic being. So that's one thing. Second thing, I could feel the pain as he was squeezing my heart. I didn't know that demons had this kind of power. But see, the thing about it, I had opened the door. So I felt the physical pain of the squeezing of my heart. I can't explain how this thing did it. And then it began to chasten me. Remember, the night before I burned those lyrics, the revenge for that had came speedily. And this thing spoke out in my conscience, and it called me out of my name, you know, in the form of a lyric. And again, it identified itself as Satan, and it said, you are a B to the game, and that's an F and shame. Everybody in hell is going to know your name.
Mm.
So wow. As this is going on, and I can literally hear this clearly with divine clarity, I began to just think. And see, this is where a lot of time I used to hear saints say, oh, the devil can't read your thoughts. I beg to differ. Mm-hmm. I realized that day that he does have the ability to read your thoughts, because all I did in my mind was think the name of Jesus. I said, Jesus. Like right now, even for the people that are watching, if you just scream to the top of your lungs in your mind, you could hear that, right? But it's spiritual because it's not audible. No one else can hear it, you know? So I just use that as an example.
Right.
So I said, Jesus, in my mind. And when I called on Jesus, Randy, this thing got so angry, and it yelled at me. If I could describe how it sounded like the voice of a lion's roar mixed with like an elephant when they make the noise. It was not of this world. And it yelled at me like, don't you dare call that name.
So this was something that you were hearing at this point.
This was something that I was hearing at this point in my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And it told, you know, it kept trying to keep me from calling on the name of Jesus. And when I did call his name, it came back even after it would yell at me to stop. It picked right back up into antagonizing me in the form of that lyric. It would get louder. It would get more intense. And every time I said Jesus, the same thing happened. I mean, I was contemplating suicide at that point.
Mm.
So, because I'm like, I can't tell anyone. I forgot to say that. That was the other part of the deal, was that you cannot tell anyone who I am. So I can't explain this to anyone. I feel ashamed that I even done it, right? So the only thing that kept me from harming myself was I knew that if I harmed myself, then whatever this spirit was, I would just be giving myself over to it all the way. This lasted for about 10 minutes, Randy, and the squeezing of the heart, the physical pain, every 5 seconds.
Hmm.
And I thought I was going to die. I thought it was going to kill me. And that's when it told me everyone in hell is going to know your name. In other words, it was saying that everywhere you go, demons are going to know who you are. You a backstabber. Call me a backstabber. You know, and we're going to attack you no matter what. So anyway, after that happened, after 10 minutes, the voice went away, and I was scared out of my mind. I don't know. Did you have any questions at this point?
Well, the end goal of Satan is to take you out, right?
Yes, sir.
Before you give your life over to Jesus, before Jesus, God can get you, right?
Yeah.
You're still not a believer at this time. You're not born anew at this time. Your spirit.
Yeah.
If he can take you out at that point by threatening you, you broke the contract, I'm going to spread that throughout hell.
Yeah.
And all hell, the demons are going to be released upon you. But his end goal is to kill you, is to take your life. Because then he's got you for eternity.
Randy, you are absolutely correct. And he tried. he tried. Once that experience was over, I didn't smoke any marijuana. I mean, I was sitting around and I would just blow it out and no one knew. I was too afraid because I'm going to tell you, drugs are a gateway to the demonic world. Mm-hmm. Only when I was under the influence of marijuana was I able to rap without missing a beat, you know, and do it. Because it was like something, drugs does something that handicaps your will and gives these spirits that are inhabiting your body free will to do whatever it is that they want to do. That's why a lot of people, when they're under the influence of drugs, wake up in prison. They're like, what the heck did I do? So anyway, I still wasn't saved. But at this point, I'm like, there's no way I can go through with this deal, you know. And I realized I got myself into big trouble. And I couldn't tell anyone about it. I was just too afraid to really disclose it and too ashamed as well. But one particular day, I spiraled into depression, thoughts of self-harm, suicide, and started back doing drugs eventually. And I was kind of scared the first time I tried it, but I didn't hear that voice. So I went back to it. See, Satan is very tricky. And then one particular day, I was listening to the same group that solicited me to do what I did. And that's when the voice came back. It was too late. So this was a vicious cycle going on. So I said, I need something stronger than marijuana. And I was introduced to PCP. And here's where he tried to kill me. Go ahead, Mitchie.
Well, drug abuse is endemic, isn't it? I mean, we hear about fentanyl, you know, killing people instantly. People that unwittingly take a pill thinking it's something else, and they keel over. So
exactly.
You know, that's where he wants to get you. And at this point, my question, Pastor LaRon, is you're hearing these voices. It's like you have this direct connection now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not hearing, it doesn't seem like you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit at this point. You're just kind of at the effect of all of these other voices that are screaming at your soul, in your conscious.
Yeah.
And how does that work in terms of this kind of this being caught in between the two? Because you're still on the side of the demons, the netherworld at this point. How do you get out of that?
That's a good question. And I needed help. I couldn't get out by myself. And God rescued me. He rescued me, Randy. And I'll go into how he did it. But I want to point out this event where Satan tried to kill me at this point. Once he realized I had turned, I did everything that he told me not to do and that I couldn't do. And he said, okay, it's time to take him out. So I began to, second time that I tried PCP, it was a weird day. We couldn't find any. And I could literally, if I be honest with myself, back then, I could feel something saying to me, LaRon, you don't need to do this. It was like I felt a warning, but I was hard-headed. So anyway, eventually we found some after hours of not being able to find it. And but we were so persistent. And I began to, you know, it was in the form of a cigarette, but it's still angel dust, you know. But I blacked out. I didn't necessarily black out. I just, my eyes got real big and I couldn't move and I couldn't speak. However, there was a black demon presence in my body. I didn't want any more drugs, Randy. At this point, I was like, I couldn't tell them that I'm done. I do not want any more of this drug. There was a rotation and it was going around. And as it came my way, I was trapped inside of my, I'm going to try to explain it. I was trapped inside of myself. This black spirit took my arm, took my hand, Randy, and made me do the drugs. That's the best way I can explain it. Mm. I'm inside of myself saying, please, I don't want any more. But I had lost control of my body. This thing had control of my body. And once the people around noticed that, wait a minute, this guy's not talking, he's not moving, everybody began to panic. So with PCP, whenever you overdose on PCP, the first thing they try to do is pour milk down your mouth. So they were trying to pour milk and stuff down my mouth. I found out later on. However, God brought me out of that. My friend walked me home. It's a long story. By now, I know I need to make a change, Randy. My world is coming crumbling down. These demons are out to kill me. Looks like what Satan said is coming to pass, that everyone in hell is going to know my name. But I couldn't get out of it. I was still in my sin, and I was addicted to these drugs. So one particular night, I go to sleep, and I was high out of my mind. And I have this dream, Randy, and this is the dream that changed my life right here. God is so good. It was the summertime in the dream. The summertime is a beautiful day. I mean, the most beautiful day I've ever saw, right? And we were getting ready to get high. You know, I was around my friends. It's just like it was in real life. And right when we were getting ready to go do our dirt, lightning came from the sky and struck the earth. It turned pitch black midnight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the return of Jesus Christ.
And this is in the physical?
No, this was a dream. This was
a dream. Okay.
Yeah. This is all during the same time when I'm going through this stuff. God, right. He used this, and this was my breaking point. Return of Jesus Christ. No one had to ask what this was. Everybody knew what this was, right? People were trampling over each other to get away from the presence of God. And we could not look up because we were so ashamed. The shame. What I remember most about that dream, Randy, is the shame of the sting in my conscience of knowing that I knew who God was, but I waited until it's too late. Now he's here, and I'm going to hell. So people are running everywhere. They're trying to flee God's presence. Just like in Revelations, it says that, you know, they're going to ask the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. And that's exactly, I hadn't even read that scripture, but that's exactly the attitude that these people had, including myself. So I ran into a house that I saw a door open. I'm trying to hide from God. And he sends an angel of the Lord, comes in there and finds me hiding, put his hands on my shoulder and says, LaRon, don't worry about it. This is just a warning. And immediately after that, I woke up with the tears, Randy. The tears and the anointing was so strong in that little bedroom. As I was wiping, the tears would, I just stopped wiping. I felt the presence of God. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Sorry.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's like, you know, you had OD'd, overdosed.
Yeah.
And that's when Satan or the demons got you, right? I mean,
yep.
that was their established date and time,
yep,
when you would go to hell.
They wanted to take me to hell that day. Go ahead.
And then God saved you miraculously. You get out of that, and then you've got this other spirit. I mean, what prompted that? I mean, did you have a yearning to know the truth, or what? What was it that precipitated that opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you?
Yeah, I had a yearning for the truth. And then not only that, but when you have been pulled into the spirit world, like I was, demons are talking to me. If you are communicating with a demonic presence, to be honest with you, that affirms the Bible. That affirms God. That affirms everything that's written in the scriptures, because it shows you that this world is real. So it was an awakening for me at the same time. And then I had these experiences as a child with the sleep paralysis stuff. So I had a yearning for truth. I had a yearning for truth. But when I did what God asked me to do, he tested my heart to see how serious I was about wanting to get out of this deal, when he told me to burn those lyrics and I obeyed his voice and did that, then I believe heaven went to work. Heaven, the spiritual warfare happened and angels began to war on my behalf.
Ah, so he needed you to do something.
Yes, sir.
He needed you to be obedient.
Yes, sir.
And then he would do the rest.
Yeah. I actually got a rap song that I made about that testimony because I do some Christian rap too. So I made a rap song about that testimony. I'll share it with you so you can check it out. But it gives all the details of my testimony.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's play that. I mean, we won't play it now, but let's note that in the text of this. But continuing on, so Pastor LaRon, you're now hearing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. God is, no one can, you know, this, when I woke up from that dream, there was nobody on this face of this planet that can convince me that there was no God. This was a wake up call. This was a direct call from God. And I knew it. So I start seeking him. I start telling him I want it out. I don't want no more of these drugs. I don't want no more of these lyrics. I want a better life, and I want it with you, God. I would just tell him that in my heart and in my conscience. So what happened was he shows out again, right? He God does things where he just show out his glory. While all this was going on, I had a so-called friend of mine who I found out was doing some things behind my back, so I was kind of plotting on this guy. But we hadn't saw him, you know, we hadn't saw him in the streets in a while. So one particular day, in the midst of all of this that's happening in my life, I got on a bus, and there he was in the back of the bus, and he had this aura. And this is a 17, 18-year-old young man who committed felonies just like I did, you know, who me and him ran the streets together and committed all kinds of heinous things. And he's in the back of the bus, and he had this aura of light. And in my heart, I knew that this had to do with God, right? Immediately as I see him and immediately as I sit down, he begins to preach the gospel to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. Now, he didn't know that I was plotting on this guy. He didn't know it. But no one had seen him because he ended up joining the church and gave his life to Christ. So he is ministering to me. He's ministering to me. He's preaching to me. And I'm impressed because I know what the things this guy have done. And I can see the change in him. He was serious. So he invited me to his church. And Randy, when I tell you, the moment he invited me to his church, those demons that were inside of me, they trembled. They trembled. And there were other attacks, Randy, that during this time, there were other attacks of getting choked and all the other stuff I went through. I mean, every night that I was going through this for those years, I want to say every night I experienced some kind of demonic attack in my sleep. Mm. And I got so many stories, Randy, but anyway, we don't have enough time. But anyway, he invited me to his church. I go to his church. And the devil tried to stop me from going because the night before I was supposed to go, drugs were coming from everywhere. Oh, man. And they were free drugs. When does that happen? So free drugs. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I promised this guy I'm going to go to church Sunday. I can't get too messed up because I want to go to church. But by now it's too late. I'm too messed up. But God woke me up that morning as he was coming into my gate to pick me up for church. And I end up just telling him, because he had someone waiting, I wasn't ready. So I just told him, go ahead, I will walk. So I walked up there because it was walking distance from my house. As I'm walking, tears are streaming. I want to change. I'm tired of this old life. I'm sick and tired of myself. I go to church. Preacher is preaching a dynamic message. I'll never forget it. It was a guest preacher. He was a young man too. He preached a sermon called Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? And he was talking about the devil, and he was talking about the power. I will never forget it. I was 17, 18 years old. He was talking about the power of God and you don't have to be afraid of the devil. And that's what I was dealing with and going through. Mm-hmm. So when I went up to the altar at the end, before I was able to give my life to Christ, an older woman stopped me. And she begins to go into a prophetic thing, telling me these things that God had for me and wanted me. He wanted to change my life and change me. And at first I was kind of skeptical, because coming from the streets, coming directly into this kind of encounter, I was kind of skeptical. And then she said something, Randy, that brought tears to my eyes, that affirmed that God was speaking through her. It broke all my skepticism. She says to me, God just showed me that you OD on drugs, some drug that was new in your life. And at that time, PCP was new. This was only the second time. And God told me to tell you, he delivered you out of that. Tears. Wow. No one knew that. There was no way this woman knew that. So I'm at a loss for words, and I'm crying, and she's just ministering to me. And I end up giving my life to Christ and joining that church. And that's where I was raised in the faith, as a babe in Christ. Those were some real saints. They didn't even have young people there, but I didn't care. It was a bunch of older, middle-aged people. But they showed me a love, Randy, that I had never experienced before in my life. But just to backtrack on this woman, when I joined that church, I asked people that belonged to that church for years, where is that woman that ministered to me? No one knew who she was. I explained how she looked. No one knew what I was talking about. I've never saw that woman again in my life.
Do you think that was an angel?
That's what I'm getting at. I believe that that was an angel. Because how is she in this church and no one knows who she is? So I was raised in the faith there. And those were some amazing saints, the men in that church. They shared the word of God with me. Even after church, they would drop me off at home and they would open their Bibles. And I want to pause to say this, too, about saints of God. Those people inconvenienced themselves to show me who Christ was. They literally wouldn't even allow me to go home. They would take me to their houses with their wives and their kids and allow me to eat dinner with them. This is the kind of love you don't see a lot anymore in the church. People really connecting and really having community and really, really inconveniencing themselves to make sure that a young man is encouraged in the faith. It was such an impression on me. And that's why I continue to go, even though there were hardly any young people there. What continued to draw me back to that church was the magnetic love, the unnatural love that these people didn't know me from Adam, but they loved me. It was strange, ironically. You know, because I come from a hard background, telling you, you know, my upbringing and all the stuff that I've had to deal with and go through and all of that. But seeing this kind of love was just amazing. I knew that these people had to have God in them. So anyway, make a long story short, I got married shortly after, a few years after that, got married to a young lady who was a pastor's kid. We're still married now, celebrating 23 years of marriage this year, four kids later. But her dad was a pastor. I joined his church and was there 15 years before starting at Ecclesia in 2015.
That is not only an incredible story,
yeah,
Pastor LaRon, but
yeah,
we talked about this before starting this interview,
yeah,
that there's still spiritual warfare. Still attacks, but you're on a different side now. So you're not in the camp of the demons. They may not know your name,
yeah,
but God Almighty knows your name.
Amen.
And he who is for you is greater than all of those others who are of the world or of hell. So right now in your ministry, you are helping people of all ages get free of demonic bondages, these contracts, because the allure of surrendering to the devil, who has these various talents and abilities and is very willing to show them and to hand them out to basically give people status, wealth, whatever. That's going on right now. So we have many people who are struggling with different things, whether it be drugs, whether it be pornography, whether it be just, you know, holding on to the things of this world, status, you know. People, and I ran into these people who would, you know, try to, you know, get a higher, go to reach the next rung of the ladder, you know, only to find that it leads to another rung. So how do you speak to somebody now who's caught up in the bondages that the enemy now has placed upon them and the allure of that to overcome it?
Very good question, Randy. The first thing I use is my personal testimony, because people can debate all day long, you know, books and this and that, but they cannot debate your personal testimony. So God has given me that as a gift, right, to share. So that's one. The first thing I do is share what God has done for me, being, in my opinion, the worst of the worst kind of a sinner, right? And I know that if he could break this contract in my life, then he most definitely can break it in yours, because he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for all. And it reminds me of something that I heard the Holy Spirit say one time, that, Laron, it didn't matter if there was only, would have only been one person. If God would have looked down eternity and saw only one person would respond to what he did on the cross, he still would have went to the cross, no matter what.
Amen.
So that's passionate, because that's personal, you know. So I oftentimes share what he's done as an example of what he can do for you, for others. And I oftentimes speak to young men. I posted a video because there have been a lot of rappers dying. And I went to God to pray about this, and God revealed to me judgment, because we're in the end time. We're in the last days. These rappers have a lot of influence, Randy.
They do.
There was just a concert in Houston, Texas, where there was people who were trampled, like seven people died trying to go to a rap concert. So, so God is very concerned. That means seven souls went into eternity. I don't know if they had the blood of Jesus on their life. So God is very concerned with that level of influence, because these people are using, they're allowing themselves to be used by demonic powers to influence people away from God. And that is not pleasing to God. Remember, he said in the scriptures, if you, it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and cast into the sea than to harm one of these little ones. So this next generation of little ones, I mean, even in that incident where seven people were killed, there was a little boy who was trampled, who lost his life. His father was taking him to a rap concert. Yeah. So I abhor that music. I hate it with a passion, because of what it is doing to a generation of people, of young people. It's influencing promiscuity, all the things that God detests and God hates, that is not his plan for their life. And it releases these... It can get really deep, Randy, but it actually builds a defense. When you do end up taking these kids to church that are exposed to this music, they already are offended. They already have these defenses that this music has put in them, where it's hard to even share the gospel.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. You know, the enemy has such a target on our young people.
Yeah.
And has for some time. But the irony is that God is moving upon the young people.
He really is.
And I believe, Pastor Laron, that it is the young people that are going to bring revival, not the ones of my generation, but the young people are going to bring revival because of young people like you. Who are going to say, you know, you can, that all of this allure is actually a bondage, and there's true freedom and joy that can be experienced. and not the allure of the world. And by the way, I have an admonition, if I may, to some in our audience who are thinking, well, you know, that's not me. I'm not from the hood, and you know, I work in such and such a place, or I want to just say this to you, that I was caught in that in the corporate world.
Yes, sir.
I was caught in the corporate world because the enemy was telling me that he would give me that next promotion or that bigger house or that bigger status, and others would view me a special way. So please don't think that because you're not in that same situation as our brother here, that you are immune from this. No, the enemy will try to get you one way or the other. And, you know, and whatever that hole is or that creep is that the enemy can enter into, you've got it. So there's a general deliverance here that is the opportunity. And you may not think that you are at the effect of the enemy or you're in a bondage to the enemy right now. Maybe you don't have that clarity of understanding that Pastor LaRon had as a youth, but yet you are still at the effect. You're either oppressed or in some cases even possessed. So,
amen.
Pastor LaRon, you have a gift and a ministry. We're going to get to now soon, very soon, a prayer of deliverance. Again, don't tune off because you may find after that prayer that you're going to feel entirely different and freed after that. But before we get there, you do have a new book, God's Diary, and another book you showed me earlier that I saw that tells more of your story and also your website. So would you please mention those and where we can find your books and also your website, please?
Okay, so thank you, Randy. This was my first book that I published back in 2002, Selling of the Soul, My True Encounter, Letters That Kill, where I give the testimony that I gave in a book form. I even tell people how to decipher satanic lyrics. Now, this book is no longer in print. However, this is my new book, which is very important, God's Diary, Truth About Life, right here. Because there are a lot of people who do not understand why they are breathing, right? And there are only two serious schools of thought pertaining to the origin of species. Either we are here by intelligent design or Darwin's theory. And more scientists, as they put life under the microscope, are beginning to exit Darwin's theory because it's just so problematic. Intelligent design is in line with the Bible. So in my book, God's Diary, The Truth About Life, I'm glad what you said earlier, because Satan caters to you based on your culture, right?
Right.
He has a smorgasbord, and he knows what you like, and he's not going to give you what you don't like. So it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. He's going to find a way to cater to the sin in your life. Just like in this gangster rap music, there are artists who sell their soul. It happens in rock and roll. It happens in country music, believe it or not. It happens in all genres because he is after the culture. It doesn't matter what race, what ethnicity, what zip code. It don't make a difference. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So in my book, God's Diary, what led to writing this book, Randy, was as a young believer, I spent a lot of time in prayer with God, unorthodox prayer, where I would, just get on my knees and pray. I would literally talk to God as if he was there. I would go in the room and close the door, and we built this amazing relationship with God as if he was there. And many times he manifests. He's always there because he's omnipresent. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and presented this question. This is what prompted the writing of this book. If there was something that existed that was everything opposite of God, would it be equal in power, greater in power, or less in power to him? Now, when God gives you, asks a question, it's never to get an answer, right? because he already knows. What he's trying to do is stretch your conscious for truth that he wants to impart to you that you probably ordinarily wouldn't receive. And that was what birthed the writing of this book. And it explains how everything as it stands right now is perfect for the purpose of which God created it. Because many times people say, if God love us, why are we in this wicked world? If God love us, why are all these bad things happening? But there is an understanding why we are dealing with the things that we deal with here in the earth realm. And one of those reasons why is, I mean, I'm not talking about anything in this book that isn't already written. I'm just bringing it to surface in a way that somebody could probably understand a little better, right? But when the declaration was made in heaven, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, the scripture said, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. But we have to pay close attention to the next declaration. It says, woe to who? To the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. In that scripture alone is so much understanding as to why we've got to deal with the things we've got to deal with down here. However, God has made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, for us to escape. And we don't have to put up. We got authority over the devil. Randy, you mentioned the scripture earlier. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? So we have authority through Jesus Christ, but he's our only hope. If you're still on the fence about the fact that we're on a planet, Randy, that we did not create, a sun as shining that we were not responsible for the origin of, on a planet that's fixed in the middle of a galaxy that we had nothing to do with, there's a reality in that is talking to us on a daily basis. If we would just open up our eyes, we could see God, right? Scripture said that the invisible power of God is understood by the things that we can see that he's done. We wash our face every morning. We didn't give ourselves that faith. We got a heart beating in our chest, pumping blood throughout our body that we did not give ourselves. So there is a reality that talks to us and tells us, hey, you need to pay attention. Life is for more than just indulging yourself in the things that you're surrounded by. This didn't just happen as a pop-up tent for us to indulge ourselves in the things that we're surrounded by. No, we have purpose. And Randy, that's what I was searching for in the drugs, purpose, in the alcohol, in the illicit relationships, in the pornography, searching for purpose. People are out here searching for purpose because they want to make sense out of their existence. Well, the Bible is the only place, Randy, I've found, and I know you too, that gives my existence meaning. I matter. God loved me. And not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We have hope. Many people are losing hope in society, hope in politics, hope in life in general. When you look out here and see all the headlines of evil and everything, it can get very depressing. But for the children of God, we have a hope, Randy, that as the Bible said, he that have this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So we're in the win-win. But it's available to everybody. All we have to do, like I mentioned in this book, I talk about we have to come into compliance with God. Why is that so hard to understand? He just wants what's best for us, and he deserves to want that for us because we didn't create ourselves. He is our creator, right? Mm-hmm. So we come into compliance with him through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. He died for us. So see, people say, well, I didn't ask to be saved. Well, that doesn't make much sense. If you're drowning, I wouldn't care who saves me. But the minute they save me and pull me out the water, I'm going to show some gratitude. Yeah. Right?
God won't tolerate fence sitters, will he?
He will not.
You got to be on one side or the other. It's not, you can't ride both sides.
Yeah, and we have to be sold out to him. And I talk about that in God's diary. It's more than just religion, because people ask me all the time, all these different religions, how do I know? Well, you've got to seek for truth, you know, because Christ is more than a religion. He wants to have a relationship. This is a real God. It's not some unfathomable faith, not based on anything. This is a real God that you can have a real relationship. He's a living being that we have the authority to talk to through something called prayer, because he's deity. So it's called prayer when we talk to God. That's amazing to me. I'm talking to you, Randy. We're just having a conversation. But when I'm talking to God, the Bible says this is called prayer, because you are dealing with something that is not human.
Yes.
He's deity. He's amazing.
But it's a similar dynamic, isn't it? That conversation. We think of, you know, again, I have to get in our prayer closet or, you know, in a special place or whatever, but he wants conversation with us.
He does.
I'm going to ask you in a moment here, Pastor Laron, to pray a prayer of deliverance.
Yes,
and there
sir.
Are going to be miracles during that prayer.
Yes,
There are those watching right now who may think, well, am I going to heaven and I'm going to hell? I don't know.
Yeah.
You should know. God wants you to know. He gave you a pathway where you can know absolutely and positively you're going to heaven when you die. So here's what you need to do if you're kind of perplexed. Am I on one side or the other? And it's very simple. That is, you need to confess that Jesus is your Lord.
Amen.
And you know what happened when Jesus went to the cross. He didn't go there because he was sentenced there. He sentenced himself. He could have called legions of angels to rescue him.
Yes,
sir. He went there for you. And so if you're not sure if you are indeed going to heaven on the day you die, because we don't want you to go to that other place, then you confess Jesus and you ask forgiveness, because he went on the cross to pay the price of of your sin, as he did for both of us here. And that is, you say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short. I have offended you. And I know you went to the cross to forgive me of my sins. I can't possibly do it on my own. I've failed too many times, and I just can't get over it by myself. But you paid for that, those sins. And I ask you now that you would become Lord of my life. Take over my life.
Yes, sir.
Just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, I forsake everything else. Everything else that is of the world. I forsake it. I give it up. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I want only you and you alone. That's all. And I ask him to come Lord of my life and direct my life all the days of my life until I go to heaven. So if you prayed that prayer, please let us know at randyk.org. We want to stay in touch with you and help you in your walk with Christ. It's not a one-and-done sort of thing. It's that your salvation is done, but there's also a walk so that you can mature in Christ. So now I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor Laron, because we have a lot of people, and I hesitate to say almost all, who are at the effect of the demons. Even as a believer can be at the effect of the demons, because the enemy's not going to give up. So I'm going to turn it over to you to pray for our audience, if you will, please.
Yes, sir. Father, we come before you. I know that there are people listening, there are people watching who are hurting, God, who are going through real life issues and pain, who are dealing with the demonic deception of the music, their playlists, who are attacked in their sleep and don't understand why, who are depressed and suicidal and feel that there is no hope. I want to pray for all of them, God, that are going through something of that nature, Lord, that are under the demonic depression. First of all, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. Hell was created for you and your angels. It was not created for any of God's children. And we command you right now to take your hands off whoever is watching. Take your hands off of them right now, you lying spirit. They have purpose. They have meaning. God loves them. He desires to give them an expected end in their life. We come against the addiction of drugs. We come against the addictions of nicotine and alcohol and the dread that it brings. We come against the addiction of pornography. A lot of people who are dealing with the addiction of pornography in this hour.
Yes.
We come against the addictions of those who are addicted to this music that is so demonic in nature,
yes.
Satanic lyric. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who are involved in witchcraft, just like I was involved
yes.
in, but worn out, God, free them by the power of your blood. Right now, God, even as we pray, miracles are happening. Testimonies will begin to pour in
yes.
of the people who are throwing away their Ouija boards and throwing out
yes.
their candlesticks and all of the things that they are using to,
yes.
to operate in the demonic. Convict their heart, Lord. Allow this
yes.
video to go into the hearts and the places and the homes of those who need to hear it so that they will be convicted and say, what must I do to be saved and call on your name? Because you hold the power, Lord. You are greater than every devil. You are greater than
yes.
the highest, the chief Christ. Demon of them all, Satan. You are greater than him. He has
Christ.
To come subject to you. All power in heaven and earth is in your name. And
yes.
Lord, we know that you are so merciful. That you are not willing that
yeah.
any perish, but that all of your children come to repentance.
Yeah.
And we thank you for it right now. We free them of depression. We free them of suicide. Whoever you are,
yes.
command you to be free right now in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody under the demonic possession, we bind that demon. We command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ by the
yes.
power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. We command it to be so right now in Jesus' name. Give them a sound mind. The spirit of fear, Lord, I come against the spirit of fear. You said you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Somebody on here, the devil's telling you you're crazy, and I'm here to let you know you are not. God has given you a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, we pray. There are people who've been touched, who've been molested, who have been physically, verbally abused. God, help them. Let them see that you are a present help in time of trouble. Let them know that you are the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by you. We pray this prayer in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus.
Mm.
Yeshua, even in the Hebrew. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 We've been to church.
We've been to church, man.
Okay. Pastor LaRon Bledsoe, and I believe we can find you at LaRonBledsoe.com.
LaRonBledsoe.com. That is correct.
And your church, Ecclesia, is
yes.
in
So
Texas.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm having virtual services.
Mm-hmm.
And So my church was in St. Louis, Missouri, and the Lord just recently called me to Texas. So I had to shut my church down there, but I continued to do Zoom and all of those things and now continue to feed a broader audience of individuals through my YouTube channel, which is The Truth About Life.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pastor LaRon. It's
Thank
been
you,
a
Randy.
Pleasure being with you today.
Yes, sir.
And we have some closing good news. And
okay.
that is that if you are in Christ Jesus, knowing
yes.
him as your Lord and Savior, be of good cheer because heaven is in your future.
Amen.
Take care and God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe, and if you'd like further information, go to our website at randyk.org, where our mission is simple, to share the great news of God's love.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up, but right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a testimony. And I know this for myself, spirits are real. And spirits, they leap and jump, they follow you, they'll get on you. Yeah, you take on somebody else's characteristics, begin to act like the other person. Yeah, so we have to be careful. But today we know this, God can deliver you from anything you get yourself into. He said that demon told him, you can't go back now. You can't get out of this contract. But we remember the devil is a liar. He told the first lie. And he's the father of all lies. We remember that. So we know that we can tell young people, we can tell our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that he's a liar. And I don't care what you agree to with him. If you call on the name of the Lord, he's coming to deliver you. Mm-hmm. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone who has something this morning they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one. Maybe you have experienced some of this stuff and you want to tell somebody. Feel free to press that number one this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good morning to you, Pastor David, and good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good to see that number, Anthony. I've been looking for you. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown, and good morning to you, Sister Sion. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mira Ann, and many. I haven't said good morning to Sister Lachelle in a while. Good morning to you, Sister Lachelle. God bless you. I pray that you're still tuning in or taking a listen to the archives. To every listener and every caller this morning, whether I call your name or not, good morning to you and God bless you. And I'm trying to think of the brother's name. Y'all know I forget something right now. Brother Justin. We want to keep him lifted in prayer. He lost his mom, I think, about 6 weeks ago, maybe more. But Justin Gilmore, we want to keep him lifted in prayer every now and then. He'll text me and, you know, to keep in touch. And I thank God for that. And we're going to keep Sister Irene lifted in prayer. We thank God that we can see her number in the studio today. But we'll keep her lifted in prayer. Sister Jerry, we want to keep her lifted in prayer. And Minister Shonda, we want to keep her lifted in prayer today. And so we thank God that he's able. We can't be there, but prayer will fix it no matter where we are every time. Yeah. And so we trust him today, and we give him thanks. We give him glory and honor, and we lift him up. And if we remember, he said, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And that's what we want to do today. We want to lift up the name of Jesus so he can draw the unsaved. He can draw the non-believer, yeah, unto him, because he wished that none should perish. And we pray for the saints of God, that God would fix all our hearts and regulate our minds. And we want to remember this day, Philippians 4 and 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, this is where we want to keep our minds. Yeah. And so we want to remember these things and try to stay there and keep praying for one another and keep showing one another love, for God is love. And again, this morning, he told us to love one another, not as the world loves. Hallelujah. But we love like he loved, agape love, unconditional. I don't just love you because you're Dorothy Goodman. I don't just love you because you're Anthony or Rose Brown. But I love you because I love you. Hallelujah. I don't need a reason. None other than God is love. And so we thank him this morning. Give him glory. We give him honor and praise. And I have to get out of here this morning. So we're going to pray out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Y'all keep me lifted in prayer. I got to go to the eye doctor too. So y'all keep me lifted in prayer. God is able. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that you're on our side in spite of us. We thank you that we can cast our cares upon you, but Father, you care it for us. We thank you this morning that if we're burdened and heavy laden, you will give us rest. Thank you that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We thank you this morning that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you that we can continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Father, all our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And this morning as we depart, Father, every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcasts, move today in a mighty way for these your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what's going on at every household. And Father, we know if it's not of you, you're able to fix it. And we bind up again this morning every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way in the name of Jesus. And we loose the blessings and uncommon favor and miracles of Almighty God Jehovah upon each and every one of our lives today in the name of Jesus. Father, those that stand in the need of finances, move in a mighty way this day in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We give you honor and we give you praise, for there's none like you. Bless our going out today. And Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 12th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. And again, we pray the Lord bring us back Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So have a blessed day, and we're going our last song of the morning.
All right. Ooh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Here we go, y'all. Sing a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
Yeah. It's a simple song. And step to me, said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, in my secret, when I wanna cry, I take a look around, and I see that I'm getting by, and I hold on.
My.